Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.
الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي خلق الإنسان في أحسن تقويم. All unqualified praise due to Allah who created the human being in the most excellent mode. وبعث نبيه مباشرا ومنذرين and commissioned from among them messengers as bringers of good news and as warnings. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. At the opening sound testimony, without hesitation, without reservation, without embarrassment. But there is no object of worship except Allah. لَهُ الْمُلْكُ. His is the kingdom. وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ. To him is due all unqualified praise. بِيَدِهِ الْخَيْرُ. And in his hand is all good. وَهُوَ عَلَّ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. And he has power over all things. ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله. The opening sound testimony without hesitation, without reservation, without embarrassment, that Muhammad, to whom the Quran is revealed, is his slave servant and his messenger. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barak ala Sayyidina Muhammad. All our senior prayers, your peace and your blessings upon our leader Muhammad, wa ala alihi and upon his family, wa sahbihi and upon his companions, ajma'in, wa ya ayyuhal muslimun. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. ولكل وجهة هو مواليها فاستبقوا الخيرات أينما تكونوا يأتيكم الله جميعا إن الله على كل شيء قدير ومن حيث خرجت فوالي وجهك شطر المسجد الحرام وإن الحق لربك وما الله بغافل عما تعملون. صدق الله العظيم. This is the reading of Surah Al-Baqarah chapter 2, verses ayah 148 and 149. And an expression of these are, to each is a goal to which Allah turns him. They strive together as in a race towards all that is good. Wheresoever you are, Allah will bring you together. For Allah has power over all things. From wheresoever you start first, or start forth, wherever you begin from, turn your face in the direction of the sacred mosque. That is indeed the truth from your Lord, and Allah is indeed not unmindful of what you do. A report from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the story And it is, indeed, I saw in a dream as though Jibreel was at my, that's the angel Jibreel, and Mikael were at my feet, another angel. One of them said to the other, indeed, he is asleep. The other replied, indeed, his eyes are asleep, but his heart is awake. The one of them said, indeed, there's a parable that applies to our companion. So tell him the parable. The other said, indeed, he is asleep. And the first replied, indeed, his eyes are asleep, but his heart is awake. So one of them said, listen, may your ear be able to hear and understand. May your heart be able to understand. Indeed, the parable that applies to you and your people is that of a king who built a mansion, established in it a hall, set up in the hall a banquet, and then sent a messenger to invite people to his food. Some people answered the messenger, while others ignored him. Those who answered him entered the mansion and ate from the banquet, while those who ignored him neither entered the mansion nor ate from the banquet. One of them said, indeed, it is indeed interpreted for him, so he might understand it. But again, the other said, indeed, he is asleep. And the first replied, indeed, his eyes are asleep, but his heart is awake. So one of them said, the king is Allah. The mansion is Islam. The hall is Jannah. And you, O Muhammad, are the messenger. Whoever answers you will enter Islam. And whoever enters Islam enters Jannah and eat from it. Therefore, whoever obeys Muhammad has surely obeyed Allah, and whoever disobeys Muhammad has surely disobeyed Allah, and Muhammad is the divider among the people. Sadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Before proceeding, I'd like to, in the spirit of dua, say this to you and to Allah, our Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he protect me from my own shortcomings, that they not be an obstacle to what he wills for you to receive today. And I pray that he accepts my intention to influence all of us to be self-aware and to be personally convicted about and committed to the universal mission, no matter what. Our topic today is remembering our immortal mission. When we transition between the one of the five subjects that are family, intellect, self, rich, and property, when we transition, we had another transitional subject, and it had the mission concept in it, and it is, the mission is possible. The mission is possible. And we're in a transition now as well, because we are working with the subject, the five obligations for building Ummah. And simply stated, our immortal mission is building Ummah. We don't always encapsulate it, but that is our immortal, you know, means undying. Doesn't matter. You die, I die, the mission goes on. The generation before us died, the mission goes on. The generation after us dies, the mission goes on. It's one mission. Never changes from Allah. And it's all incorporated in Allah's statement, in Ja'ilu fil ardi khalifa. Until that is done, the mission goes on. And I have also, it's a universal mission, but it's also a local mission. That is, right here, this address, and everybody who identifies and takes benefit from the resources, support, activity, et cetera, of this community's existence,
This is one of the nodes of that universal mission. That's what it, it's an outpost, let's put it like that. And this is something that, and again, this being a reminder, I'm going to read the mission of Mission Over Theme. And this is just for the particular aspect of it, because, and of course, this has been, well, I've been a man for 40 years, so this has been the mission, mashallah, inshallah, since that time, from a local perspective. Explicitly stated as I read it, but implicitly, yes, it was always the same mission from before, even from before me. The mission of National War Theme is to promote peace, stability, equality, liberty, and dignity within the Ummah and within the society at large, to implement the laws of al-Islam, or the law of al-Islam, in all affairs of the Ummah, to produce and maintain an environment which promotes the development of Islamic character in every individual, and which promotes in every individual the will to obey Allah in accordance with Islamic beliefs, to remove all obstacles to its mission, and to carry the call of al-Islam to the whole world. That's the mission statement, a mission statement from Mashallah Wa Theme. And we have an event, of course, this evening. This is a part of, only a part of what prompted taking this subject. Of course, we know this is December 30th, and the solar calendar new year is, of course, Sunday. So we are right at the crest, at the brink of a, quote, new year from a solar perspective. And, of course, this is always a time for review, for renewal, for, you know, retrospective and the like. And since we're in between subjects, as I've already mentioned, I said, well, okay, this would be a good time for us to be reminded. So that's for us to be brought back to reflecting on, okay, what are we doing? What are we doing, right? The mission is the same. Okay, and more details are coming, but I think about this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that there's a parable that the Prophet gave it to us as a parable. There are also core parables in the Bible, also, and those core parables. Scholars that I've read, they identify the core parables as being seven core parables. And most of them have the identification and been connected in the canonical gospels as the Matthew, Luke particularly. Matthew, we know those four gospels are Matthew, Mark, and John. Right? Matthew and Luke focus on the kingdom of heaven. Most of them have that, the kingdom of heaven doctrine. And when I saw that hadith of the prophet many years ago, immediately, it couldn't escape anybody. It had some touch with the scripture. Oh, okay. But his prophet has a hadith that's like a parable in the Bible, because that same kind of preparing a banquet or preparing a feast, in fact, I think Matthew calls it the wedding feast, calls it wedding feast, which would bring other connections with core verses for us in al-Islam, particularly Ayah 1, Surah 4 of the Quran, which we spent a lot of time talking about. But in any case, the essence of the kingdom of heaven, what the kingdom of heaven means, what it means to Christians, I can't say, but what it means for one who understands what Ummah is in al-Islam, and what the plan of Allah is for humanity, what they mean by kingdom of heaven in our language is Ummah. What they mean by kingdom of heaven is Ummah. So it's the same thing when understood that when Allah says, وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٍ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ, let there arise out of you an Ummah. Okay? It means the same thing that is stated in the Bible when it says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. and the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, until you start getting into detail, kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven means the same thing, biblically speaking, until you drill down as quote unquote theologically and say, okay, well, this is a distinction here and there. But by and large, when you see kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, it's the same. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inni ja'ilu fil ardi khalifa, he's also saying, I'm going to build my kingdom on earth. I'm going to build my kingdom on earth, and vis-a-vis who, or rather through who, and by what means? A bashar, the human being. I'm going to create a bashar in the earth is another statement that he makes, which is mirroring the same thing. I am creating in the earth a bashar. He said, I am creating in the earth a khalifa. So the khalifa is going to come out of the human being. It's going to come out of the human being. And we can go ahead and say, keeping with the idea of the kingdom of heaven from the biblical perspective, Jesus Christ, according to the Bible, says, and the kingdom of heaven is within. The kingdom of heaven is within. Right? Other translation, and the kingdom of heaven is amongst you. Okay? So that also ties us to the fact that this this Inni ja'ilu fil ardi khalifa, and he said also that he is making in the earth a bashar. So those two things, they're the same thing. One is the seed for the other. Our human nature is the seed for the kingdom of heaven. And the kingdom of heaven within is our human nature. Our quest, our mission, our work, our job is the growth of the nature that Allah created in us. And as it grows, the kingdom grows. As it grows, Khalifa grows. Here's another thing with regard to Khalifa. Khalifa is rooted in a word that means what's behind. What's behind, right? So the what's coming from behind has to come to the fore. And just a little marginal footnote for the scientists in the room. It's like, what's coming from behind? The Imam drew a picture when he taught us what I'm about to tell you now. The Imam drew a picture. He drew a picture of an animal. Just imagine a cave drawing of a four-legged animal, right? And then he carted off the back part, took a marking. So now the hind part is separated from that, from the rest of the body. And so that's the back part, right? So the back part, so that's khalifa, right? From which you also have khalifa. He said the Jews don't eat from the back part. They don't eat from the back part of the animal. They only eat from the front part of the animal. Right? What really is going to evolve the human being is the human being coming from the nature that Allah put in him, which I have to put it this way, for easy understanding, instincts. What's the back part? It's the end that stinks. Instincts, right? That's a numerous way to connect with it, but here's the theological connection to be clear about. Aid. What is aid? Aid for us is recurring happiness. We have Eid al-Fitr, Eid al-Adha. The most important one for us in this moment is Eid al-Fitr. Eid al-Fitr means the return of the original nature. The return of the original, that's our quest. That's the first mission. That's the first mission for each one of us as an individual. You and I have to reconcile ourselves with our original nature. We have to get in touch with our original nature, and now what's from behind has to come to the front. I've made my dua, so I guess this is what the answer is. We have to bring what's from behind to the front. In the back is
our innate nature. The goal is to become conscious of our original nature. Why? Because that's what Adam forgot.
Those of you who were with me last week, you should be really with me right now, because that's the thing. The whole issue is, just as Adam, is about discovering what it is that we forgot. So when you recover what you forgot, that means you remember. That means you become conscious of what was behind you. Now, come on, what's up? When you make wudu, when you wipe your head, you wipe your head once. But it's not just once like that. It's once, you start with your hand in the back, which is where the primitive brain is, and then you wipe forward to the neocortex, to the frontal cortex, which is where the real development is, and then you wipe back again to that original place. And that's the one. It's this way is half. When you finish, that's a whole. So you have to do twice to make one wipe. And how do you, what does that have to do with anything? The moons. The moon. They are decided by the Hilal, the sighting of the moon. You have the new moon, and then you have the moon of the next month, or it's waxing and it's waning. All right? And so all of this has to do with the idea of recognizing that our mission is to build a society out of the development of our innate instincts. And let me go ahead and tell you, the Star of David. Star of David. You all know this story, this image, right? I'm not a member of the Illuminati, okay? Star of David, right? You have the triangle pointing up. Then you have the triangle pointing down. And they're overlapped with each other. They say the same thing that I just said to you. The triangle upright, the equilateral triangle upright, it's a statement of coming from the base of your original nature, which is really the base of creation. We have the same nature. I don't have a different nature than the universe, macrocosm, microcosm. It's the same nature. I'm literally the interface between material creation and spiritual reality. Each one of us is. Our bodies are just packages for that very thing. Nevertheless, the point is that the growth from that base up to a focus, that's the sign of your development of the insight into your own original nature. Then you take that original nature and you take that enlightenment and you go back consciously to know and understand yourself. You come to the point where you develop it, now you turn around and you go back to it as a source, and that's where your power comes from. That's why it's called the Seal of Solomon. It's called the Seal of Solomon. It's a symbol of the power of the soul of man. Well, y'all heard me make noise a lot. I hope you're getting some of what I'm saying. So the whole mission of Ummah, the mission of Ummah is that cycle that I'm talking about. And you have to first accomplish that in yourself. You who believe, first save yourself and then save your family from a fire whose fuel is men and stone. You have to cultivate yourself. I got to put it that way. You have to cultivate yourself. And now with the power of yourself and with the understanding of yourself, with the knowledge of what was behind you, coming in conscious control and possession and application of that knowledge of the nature of all things, which is at the base of that pyramid, as I just read, when you are in possession of that, now you're going to get the submission of angels. Everybody's still trying to figure out, how do they build the Sphinx and how do they build the pyramid? These are people who are in possession of the knowledge of the nature that Allah put in them from their creation. And that knowledge has been lost and forgotten by the modern world. I'm not running around looking for, whatever the details of the YouTube stuff that says about things that sound like what I'm saying right now. That's not where I source it. I say there's some evidence that can support what's being said in the Quran.
The Quran and the life of Muhammad, sallallahu,
they were telling that comes first for me. The other, don't think that because I say something that sounds like something that somebody said, that everything somebody said means the same thing to what I said.
All right?
You know,
that's my receipt to show that, hey, it ain't me.
So, so, okay, let's see if we can dial it back a little bit just to, excuse me. All right. My hope is to, I want you to see the gradation, the work, the process, how it starts with you and I individually. It's a big mission. It's a universal mission, but you have to do your part. I have to do my part. We have to do our individual part. I'm telling you, it's so serious. The Imam Muhammad Rahimahullah Alayhi, he's my teacher. He said we have to move from small circles of identity to broader circles of oneness. That's a mission in life. Just think about it. I mean, the easy way to understand that, you have to stop being selfish. That's like step number one. Stop it. You have to grow up and learn how to not be selfish. Is natural in the beginning. Selfish, that's my toy. No, that's my cookie. You ain't giving God. You ain't first thing. What else? You're still dealing with the same thing. Sooner or later, you have to learn how to share, how to be charitable, right? These are early lessons. But we constantly have to learn those lessons. So this idea of moving from self to family, to community, to nations, to the world, those are the gradations. There are some simple keys for doing that. I've said this so many times, but I feel the need to just go ahead and make it, I think, clear. How do I move from myself to family? You move from self to family by learning the knowledge of family and taking responsibility for family. And then inside of the obligations that go with family, you have to move from enmity to empathy to embrace. Now, to understand on that, first on that level, you have to do that for yourself first. What do you have to do for yourself first? You have to get the knowledge of yourself first. And I've tried to say on many, many occasions, and Al Islam tells us, you are not your body. No matter how beautiful, how great, how wonderful your body is, you are not your body. Your reality transcends your body. Your reality transcends the material creation, but you need to know that first. You need to own that. And once you own the fact that you are more than your body, that's something critical to the knowledge of self. When you understand it in detail, now you can go further. Next thing, you have to be responsible for yourself. Excuse me. You have to be responsible with self-responsibility. In Al-Islam, many of us don't understand it as much as we should understand it, but this is a reminder. It's what the Dua is about. It's about a reminder. The reminder is, alaykum anfusakum. The Quran says you are responsible for yourself. You are responsible for it in many, many occasions. No bearer of burden can bear the burden of another. Even though they be closely related and calling out for assistance, everyone is responsible for themselves. But now, the charitable side, the sadaqah, the giving side, the helping side, this is the human dimension of how Allah, quote-unquote, tries us, how Allah tries us and how we benefit in the game of life, quote-unquote, in that. Here's the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The role that the Prophet plays for us in that is that he gives us the detail. God says, alaykum anfusakum, you're responsible for yourself. No bearer of burden can bear the burden of another. Okay, God says. Okay, question. Okay, well, how do you practice that? That means I'm only supposed to look out for myself. I'm only supposed to do this, do it for me, and everybody else, hey, that's on you. No, the Prophet says, Allah helps his servant so long as he goes on helping his brother. So So here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, look, this is the reconciliation of what seems to be a thing where, yeah, I got to look out for me. No, that's not the final answer. How do you look out for you? One way you look out for you is by looking out for somebody else. Because God's help comes to you through the help that you give to somebody else. But if you're selfish, then you're only thinking about, well, what are you going to do for me? I ain't going to do nothing for them. They don't do nothing for me. You're not grown up yet. I don't care how old you are. You haven't grown up in the human sense. And the human sense of obligation. And the hadith of the Prophet, guess what? They'd be two. By the fact that I'm going to take this here. Well, the religion says, none of you is a believer until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. How simple and how often have we heard that? But how much do we demonstrate that? Love for your brother what you love for yourself. None of you believe until you have given of that which you love. So God is always telling us, God is making us, he's obligated us to help other people. Okay. All this has to do with self. You have the self-responsibility, but inside that self-responsibility means carrying yourself and understanding yourself in the way that Allah has ordered for you to carry and understand yourself and live that way. Live that way. See, you can have, whatever, 10 Muslims, let's just say. You have 10 Muslims, but only one of them is really living that way. All of them are Muslims, but none of them are practicing Islam in the context of what I said. If you said that example, that every all the other nine are looking out for themselves, and the one is trying to do the mutual thing. How long can he last, and how long can they last? Right. So the point is, more and more and more, we have to grow to the application and to the practice of the details of Islam. So quickly moving. If you can do this for yourself, be fully and thoroughly understanding of yourself as a creation of God. And let's say this also. God says, your creation and your resurrection is in no wise except as a single soul. I'm talking to us, and again, the spirit of my desire is for us to come alive to our reality and uniqueness under Allah in the nature of creation. Okay, so when you understand that your creation, your resurrection is no wise as one soul, then that's another way where you really have to pay attention to yourself. You really have to look yourself in the mirror. You have to look yourself in the heart, look yourself in the mind, and ask yourself, am I really serious? Am I really committed? Am I really practicing? Am I really, and what is that, brothers and sisters? All that description I just gave you, one word, taqwa. Taqwa is one word that says what I said, and that's not even complete. See, because taqwa makes you ask yourself, is this the way I should be thinking? Is this the way I should be feeling? About what? About anything. We got the event this evening. How are you thinking about that? How are you feeling about that? How are you planning relative to that? Is that the way that Ummah gets built? If you're thinking in a way that Ummah gets built, then alhamdulillah, that's a good way of thinking. If the thinking about it is not the attitude that Ummah gets built upon, then you need to change the thinking. Okay? Yeah, I'll give you an announcement later, but it's just the sake of understanding. So to conclude this portion of the khutbah, this knowledge of yourself, responsibility for yourself, and then the enmity to empathy to embrace. Sometimes we think we love ourselves, you know, and sometimes we do. But this easy grasp, this idea, this enmity, empathy to embrace is just designed mainly for you to hold on to the idea. The idea is that, see, if you love yourself the way you should love yourself, meaning yourself as a creature from Allah, then you want to do everything that Allah has ordered for you to do
because he gave it to you for you as a favor. Allah gave us Al-Islam as a favor to us so that we can experience what he created us for. So if you love yourself, why would you not do as much as you possibly could with the favor of Allah that's designed to benefit your own self? I've heard a statement made that the opposite of love is not hate, but apathy. The opposite of love is not hate, but apathy. See, when somebody hates somebody, I mean, they do have some emotional impact on them. Ah, I ain't worried about them. Well, they must be something that got you all upset. So you're on a plane where they do have some emotional impact on you. Apathy is no feeling. No feelings. Empathy is shared feelings. Empathy in this case that I'm speaking of right now, sometimes self-hatred shows up in unwillingness to forgive yourself. Sometimes self-hatred shows up as the unwillingness to forgive yourself. So you do something wrong and you never forgive yourself. You do something wrong and you punish, you have a punitive conscience. Oh, look at you. How you gonna be? You ain't nothing but, you need to recognize that's really not you talking. That's Shaitan. Because his objective is to convince the human being that he's not worthy. That's the plan in the Quran. Satan's plan is to prove to God that they are not worthy of the state and the position that you created them for. And I'll prove it. So once you open yourself up without that taqwa, being conscious of the fact that the self-denial, self-rejection, self-dejection, that's not a part of Allah's plan for you. That's a part of Satan's plan for you. Right? And the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, don't say, never say of yourself, my soul is ruined. I mean, I'm just tore up from the floor. If I had other way of saying it, I can't say it in Juma. Yeah, man, I'm just. The Prophet said, don't say that. But you can say my soul is in pretty bad shape. If you get to that condition, you can, but never say my soul is ruined, my soul is destroyed. No. Have empathy for yourself. Have empathy for yourself. Right? Empathy is different than sympathy. Sympathy is when you're looking down on someone in a manner of speaking. I mean, in a formal, technical sense. You can sympathize with somebody, et cetera. But really, empathy means I really feel what you're going through. I feel what you're experiencing. I'm sharing that with you. So there's an equality in it. And then you move from that empathy to embrace. When you learn how to embrace yourself as Allah has created you and as Allah has ordered you, and all the time that I've spent just talking about just the self, you got to do the same thing for your family. Is the same thing for your family. What do you really know about family? I mean, what do you really, somebody set you down. Tell me what you know about family. Tell me what you know about how God wants family to be. How long would that conversation be coming from you? When we say Ali Imran, the family of Imran, Ali also means this skill and ability. It takes wisdom and knowledge and understanding to have a family. Don't get that twisted. That's why in so many cases it's just so hard to get broken up, they fall apart, etc., because there's not enough knowledge, wisdom, and understanding as from God about the nature of family. But you got to go through that same cycle of knowledge, responsibility, empathy to embrace with family. And when you get that straight, a group of families got to do the same thing as a community.
You have to have family to understand the science of family to get together to become a community. But if you don't have families who are stable, solid, understanding the science of family and the role of family in the building of Ummah and Khalifa, how will you ever get there? How will you ever get there? You won't. You won't. And I'm saying that there's a spirit, I know what I said. I'm saying it's the spirit of that, that sometimes it's like, yeah, you look at that mountain of what the brother's talking about. You look at the mountain, and you look at the people, you look at the mountain. I know what he's saying is right, but damn, that's a mountain, man. I don't remember what he's going to do this right here. Okay. One with God is the majority. Are you with God? Are you with God's plan? Are you doing your part? Can you look yourself in the mirror and look into your heart and say, look, hey, I did my part. My job is to do the whole thing. My job is to do my part. And after you do your part, sleep like a baby.
Papa, no, it's enough for Dunia. حسنة وفينا خيرها حسنة وكنا زاب النار الله أكبر Maybe tomorrow on our broadcast we'll touch on the New Testament parable and how it correlates to what we're saying. But I want to move on to more from the Prophet, peace be upon him, as we conclude. In the Prophet's farewell address, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, beware of Satan regarding the safety of your religion. He has lost all hope that he will ever be able to lead you astray in big things. So beware of following him in small things. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you don't have to worry about somebody sliding a pork chop in front of you. It's all right, man. Don't worry about that. It's like that just ain't going to happen. Right? And about so many other things that you could call big things. Nah, I ain't worried about big things. But we do miss the small things. Do you know that when you're sarcastic with a brother or a sister, that's sin in Al-Islam. Even lying, telling a joke in Al-Islam, that's a sin. It's small. This is sin. And when we talk about khutwa shaytan means the footsteps of Satan. It says, follow not the footsteps of Satan. Right? But one of the core meanings of that, one of the critical meanings of that is Satan, he don't run you right into the couple places I want to cuss, but I just can't. He don't run you right into the stuff. He just leads you slowly. Before you know it, that little bit is little bit. But you miss that little, and it steps up for another little. Before you know it, you're in a situation. How the hell did I get here? Khutwa shaitan. Footsteps of Satan. So the footsteps of Satan is that he takes you gradually into the full-blown deviation. So if you're not watching out for the small things, you will wind up in a big thing. And so the prophet tells us, watch out for that. And the same thing goes for small things good leading to big things good. Allah's prophet, Allah's messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, what Allah loves most is the thing that's done most consistently, even if it's small. Even if it's small. Right? Those who involve in economics, we talk about dollar cost averaging. Dollar cost averaging is a way of investing that, you know, just keep putting this small thing, keep putting this little piece, just but do it regularly without fail. Boom, 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 boom. And you will find yourself in a better financial condition than a person who's playing with investments like, okay, well, let's do this. This looks good right now. Let's jump on that. Oh, man. Okay, well, let's go over here. Let's do this. See, dollar cost averaging just keeps going. And before you know it, the stack is much bigger because the other one had no consistency, no stability. So it's a law. It's a law of nature. So I'm trying to get us to understand that you got to watch out for small bad things that contradict what you say you stand for and what you're about. Watch out for. I'm talking about watching out for your feelings, your attitude, your disposition, your thoughts, your words, small things. There are many hadiths for this, but just without going into the things that we don't think, that there's statements that we can make that will literally take us to hell. According to the report, it would take us to hell, but we thought that it was a small thing. It is a big thing with Allah. All right? So that's the small, bad thing that I'm trying to describe, but also the small good things that will take us there. So when we think about the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where it says, eat together, for the blessing is in the company. Eat together, for the blessing is in the company. Right? That's a small statement. But it's a big statement when it comes to ummah building. It's a big statement when it comes to community building. It's a big statement. Science tells us that you get your identity from your socializing group. Who do you socialize with? Well, whoever you socialize with, that's where you get your identity. So Muslims should socialize with Muslims. Not only, but for sure. Why? Because how many opportunities do you have to be around Muslims where the environment, the attitude, the spirit, and the notions are all aimed at and supportive of Allah's plan for humanity? Where do you go to find a group of people who that's what they think about, that's what they talk about, that's what they're interested in, that's what they're motivated by? So when an opportunity comes up for such a thing, to step away from that and to go to what? Because as Abdullah, as servants of Allah, sometimes you do things not because it's going to be fun or not going to be fun. It's because it's the job. Well, I thought it's supposed to be fun. Well, everything you have to do ain't always fun. And that can't be the sole motivation for why you do whatever you do in service to Allah. I'm doing this for God. There's a language called noblesse oblige. Noblesse oblige. Especially for leaders, that's how that relates there first, but it relates to all of us because every one of us, the prophet said, is a leader. So it applies to all of us. Noblesse oblige means the obligations of nobility. The obligations of nobility. Hey, look, if you are seen as person X, person Y, you're supposed to be a model for this. You're supposed to be an example for that. And then you get invited to go somewhere and to do this and do that, and you don't feel like going. But you got to go. Why? Noblesse oblige. It's the obligation. All right? But I'm putting that part out. That's the hard part. Let me soften it for you if you feel the need for that softening. Listen to this. The prophet said, eat together for the blessing is the company. Let's see if you can see a relationship between this report from the prophet and what I'm saying here as we draw to a conclusion. It's reported that
when people enter Jannah, there will be people in Jannah who say, Ya Allah, where's my friend so-and-so? And then they'll be told, well, they're in hell. Oh, Allah, the servant will say, Ya Allah, my pleasure, my delight, my happiness in Jannah will not be complete except that that person is present with me. And then Allah will order the angels to go get that person out of the hellfire and bring him to Jannah. And then the people of Jannah are going to come around looking at the person because they can see signs on him that he's been in hell. So then they're going to ask, how did he get here? Did the prophets and the messengers intercede for him? It'll be said, no. Was his father a martyr? Because martyrs can intercede for their family. It'll be said, no. Well, was his brother a martyr? No. Well, how then did he get here? Did he have enough good deeds to get him here? It'll be said, no. So how did he get here? It will be said that his friend, so-and-so, interceded for him. As the Quran says, when the people enter the hellfire, they cry out, we don't have any intercessors and no close friends that can intercede for us on the day to take us out of the hellfire. And this shows us how important it is to have righteous companions. How do you know? You may be sitting with somebody in such an event. They may be the one that can intercede for you if you didn't qualify for paradise. And the scholar said, a couple of scholars I need to mention here, Al-Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullah alayhi, he said, befriend many believing friends, for indeed, for them is intercession on the day of resurrection. Do you understand? Have some righteous friends. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that friendship is half of wisdom, meaning having good friends is half of wisdom. So we should be in the business of befriending good people, and you find good people among the Muslims when we socialize together. Also, Ibn al-Jawzi, radiallahu anhu, alayhi salatu wasalam, that applies to. He said, if you get to Jannah and you don't find me amongst you, please ask about me. Oh, our Lord, your servant so-and-so, he used to remind us of you. Then he cried, may Allah have mercy on him. And I'm asking you, he said, if you don't find me amongst you in Jannah, then ask about me. Just maybe I reminded you about one thing that helped you to remember Allah. Oh Allah, we ask you for good companionship that will assist us to be on our and in your obedience. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك له الحمد يحيي ويميت بيده الخير هو على كل شيء قدير اللهم صل الله محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد والله we thank you for your graces, we thank you for your blessings, we thank you for your guidance. Allah, purify us in our hearts, purify us in our intention, purify us in our thinking. Oh Allah, increase us in conviction, increase us in commitment, increase us in confidence, increase us in competence. Oh Allah, we beg your aid and assistance because it is our desire to serve you in every way that you have created us to serve you. Oh Allah, bless us to learn how to serve you. Bless us to learn how to serve each other in your name. Oh Allah, we ask your help, your aid, your assistance, your guidance, your enlightenment. Without it, we have none. We beg this if you only for none can grant it with holders but you. Ameen. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Come to salam. لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا ضالين. ويل لكل همزة لمزة الذي جمع مالا وعددا يحسب أن ماله أخلدا كلا لا ينبضان في الحتمة وما أدراك ما الحتمة نار الله الموقدة التي تطعل على الآفدة إنها عليهم محسدة في أمد ممددة. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمدا. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا ضالين. لإلاف قريش ألافهم رحلة شتاء وصيف فليعبدوا رب هذا البيت الذي أطعمه من جوع وآمنه من خوف. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمدا. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الفاتحة. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. تقبل الله. الحمد لله. Do I have an announcement? Alhamdulillah, William Tiara Chapman anniversary, December 26th, just passed. Swiya Saba Adila Shaheed, Kina Shabazz, Masha Lattimore, Aisha Akila, William Islam, Carlos Ali, Maisha Shuaib, and Saida Salam, all having birthdays between the 27th and the 31st. Alhamdulillah. Right now, coming up, is today's Meshi Warthin hosting year-end social gathering starting at 4 p.m. The evening is going to include food your soul contract, music, karaoke, and games for all ages. Additionally, inshallah, Women of Meshi Warthin is hosting a special silent auction. Come out and enjoy the evening with your family and community. You can contact Georgetta. Today is that day, of course, Georgetta and Yolanda, for more information. Here's menu choices. Lamb, yams, red beans and rice. Seems like I need to have some music to back up. Lamb, yams, red beans and rice, hot water cornbread. I think James Brown called it crackling bread. Something like that. I might be wrong. Hot water cornbread and fried chicken, got to have a fried chicken. Cornbread, got that. And also fried chicken wings with french fries also. So $15 for the first two selections and $10 for the fries and the wings and fries selection. Alhamdulillah. And you know how they put it down. So it's all good. Tariq and Javi's two toddler nephews hospitalized, mashallah, may Allah have mercy on them. We have the book, Mother of the Nation, Clara Evans Muhammad. You have those. You should get that. You should always have that. And do we have any more Darnell's book? I'm not sure. I am doing a series with Imam Darnell, interviews on Wednesday morning, Blog Talk Radio. We're going to go through the whole book chapter by chapter, commentary-wise. So inshallah, you can join us for that as well. 7 a.m. Wednesday morning, Blog Talk Radio. I don't think I'm forgetting anything else. The men's group, is there a men's group session over in Alameda? I think that's good. Huh? That's a couple more. Okay. All right. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum. Oh, I do have another announcement. Myself and Dr. Zaid, that book originally in Doc, we all know you, but we all don't know you. Dr. Zaid and I, we complete a collaborative work. It's available for you on the back table there as well, Seeking Clarity of Understanding. Alhamdulillah, it's a conversation between myself and Dr. Zaid, alhamdulillah, the first of many, inshallah. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum. Which one?
Yes.
It's okay. It's okay. Yeah, do that. It's for me. That's actually mine. Yeah, you have to pass it on to your mom. Assalamu alaikum.